As you're turning in your Bible to the last chapter of the book of Romans, I've been going through this series in the book of Romans, and actually, I've been in this last chapter of the book of Romans since the first Sunday of August. And so we are now in the seventh week of looking at these 27 names that God, by His Holy Spirit, gave us through the Apostle Paul. You know, a lot of people look at this 16th chapter and they just think it's a throwaway chapter. You know, they think it's just dry as dust, and so they just skip over it. But friend, don't do that. God never wastes one word in His Scripture. And every one of these names are here for our benefit, for our growth, for our example, and for our inspiration. And we've seen that as we've worked our way up to the 13th verse of Romans chapter 16 on this Memorial 9/11 Sunday, where we read there about a famous family. I've provided my outline for you there in the worship guide, and I hope you'll follow along, take a few notes of your own. In the year 1750, George Washington was 18 years old and looking for direction in his life. He eventually was given the position of official surveyor of Culpeper County, Virginia. It was in that capacity that Washington made his first visit to Virginia's Natural Bridge. Here, legend has it that the physically imposing Washington, who towered in his day at 6 feet 2 inches, threw a rock from the creek running beneath the Natural Bridge over its top, a distance of 215 feet. If you were to visit the Natural Bridge today, you would see thousands of names and initials scratched on the rocks. But high up on one side of the rock wall, above almost every other name, is scratched the initials G.W. for George Washington. You see, even the father of our country felt the urge to gain a kind of immortality by carving his name on the rock. There's something, if we'll admit it, in all of us that wants to see our names preserved. But here in Romans 16, we see a list of names of men and women who never knew they were going to be famous, like the 3,000 names of men, women, boys, and girls killed in the attack of 9/11 that are inscribed in bronze parapets in the twin pools within the footprint of the two twin towers. Yes, like them, the 27 people listed in Romans 16 would receive undying fame as Paul inked their names into the pages of Scripture as some of his closest friends. One was a famous family. We read about them in Romans 16, verse 13, where we see, number one, a son. It says there, Paul uses that word Greek now for the 20th time in Romans 16. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord. Rufus was a famous son, as we'll see in just a very few moments. But Paul gives him the further description of being chosen in the Lord. What did Paul mean by this? He meant that Rufus stood head and shoulders above his peers. He was select He was rare when compared to other people. He was the kind of person that people always gravitate towards when there's an important job to be done. Often such people are drafted into service, like his number two, father. Oh, we don't read about his father here in Romans 16. He more than likely was dead by the time Paul greeted Rufus in Romans 16, but we read about him in the Gospel of Mark, the second book of the New Testament, the 15th chapter and the 21st verse. There is one of three accounts of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there we see the recounting of how Rufus, his name was Simon of Cyrene, which is in North Africa and modern-day Libya, how he was pressed into service of carrying the cross of Jesus when Christ was marched to Calvary for his crucifixion and his sacrifice for you and for me. God put Rufus' dad, Simon, in the right place at the right time. It was no accident of history. Simon was attending the Passover in Jerusalem with his family. But this was not like any other Passover before it. God's only son would be there to give his life on the cross of Calvary. And when Jesus passed by, Simon's path was crossed in history by the most important person ever known. He would never be the same. Dear friend, Jesus is passing by your way today. He is. He's coming up and down these aisles, even there in the choir, in the orchestra. He knows all of you by name. Just like he passed by Simon, he is passing by you. And the question of the hour is, will you be ready when called to service as Simon was? Some of us are content to remain as pew potatoes, resting on our blessed assurance. But others will be like Simon and will rise, take up their cross, and follow Jesus. I want us to read this verse too in its entire context. Mark chapter 15, verse 21 has another interesting component to it. It says, then they, that's the Roman soldiers, compelled a certain man, Simon of Cyrene. Now watch this. The father of Alexander and Rufus. Yes, that's the same Rufus we read about in Romans 16, verse 13. As he was coming out of the country and passing by to bear his, that's Jesus' cross. I want to speak to the dads here today, because I think there's an important takeaway from this verse. When Simon went to worship the Lord at the Passover, he didn't leave his children behind or didn't send his children to worship while he stayed behind. Simon brought his two sons, Rufus and Alexander, with him to worship. And there at his knee, standing on the Via Dolorosa, as Jesus passed by, suffering severe blood loss and loss of fluid, their dad was selected, chosen out of the entire crowd to carry Jesus' cross. Can you imagine what an impression that made on those two young sons, Alexander and Rufus? Dad and moms too, can you imagine what kind of impression it might make on your child in this worship service? If they saw you, like Simon, rise from your place of complacency and take up your cross all the way to Calvary, only eternity will reveal the impact that a mom or dad's influence will have on their impressionable children. A famous family. A son, Rufus, we saw his name in Romans 16. Rufus' father, Simon, we see his name in Mark 15, 21. But we know from Mark 15, 21, there was another boy, Alexander. And we see his name mentioned there in that verse we just read, but Bible students believe his name is mentioned again in the New Testament in the book of Acts, chapter 19, and verse 33. There we see Alexander really filling in the shoes of his own dad. As we read the words there, and I need to give you a little bit of background. The Apostle Paul and his ministry team were in Ephesus, and the city folks were very upset with Paul and his ministry team because he was ministering in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Very unpopular, as I'm sure it would be in Cuba. And that day when our guest was raised there, and even to this day. And I find it very interesting that we read similar words in Acts 16, verse 33, to Mark 15, verse 21. It says, and they, these are the people that were angry with Paul, they drew Alexander out of the multitude. Doesn't that remind you of his dad? I mean, his dad was just there minding his own business on the Via Della Rosa. And the Bible says they compelled him to take up the cross of Christ. Here is Alexander, Simon's son, just like his dad, minding his own business, and they drew him out of the multitude. But when pressed into service, he was ready to do all that duty demanded. And so on this day, the emotions were at a fever pitch. Paul's life was in jeopardy, and we read about Simon's son and Rufus' brother. It says, and they drew Alexander out of the multitude, the Jews putting him forward, and Alexander motioned with his hand and wanted to make his defense to the people. Oh, there's another important takeaway for us here. Because in this year, 2016, we certainly are living in a time of need. We need people who will unashamedly carry their cross like Simon did. And people who, without reservation, will defend the faith as Alexander did. We don't need to cower in a corner and be ashamed of being a Christian, even though the heat is hot, the oppression is real, and the persecution is growing against us. We need more Alexanders who will defend the faith. We need more Simons who will take up the cross. But there is a fourth, an important person in this famous family, and we have to go back to Romans chapter 16 to read about her. She is the mother of Rufus, the mother of Alexander, and the mother or the wife of Simon, who probably by this time had passed away. The causes we do not know. But Paul greets Rufus's mother here, who also cared for him like his own biological mother. You see what it says there? Greet his, that's Rufus' mother, and mine. Paul is saying, she cared for me as sacrificially as she did her own son. What a caring family this was. It reminds me very much of my last church, Central Baptist in Sanford, Florida. Had the privilege of leading to the Lord a Lebanese American, a guy by the name of Wabi Tamari. He was a very accomplished single young man. He was the comptroller of Darden restaurants, which at that time included Red Lobster and Olive Garden and several others. And he had never been exposed to the gospel, having grown up in Chicago, Illinois, in the home of a family where his dad was highly educated. He was the head of the dentistry school at Northwestern University in Chicago, and his mother, though a sweet woman, had not been raised in Christianity. And on that day when I baptized Wabi, he, like any genuine believer, wanted to share his faith, beginning with his own family. And he shared the gospel with his mother, Nadia, who lived right there in downtown Chicago on the Miracle Mile, some of the most expensive real estate in the United States of America. And she gave her heart and her life to the Lord Jesus Christ. Out of gratitude to the man who had baptized her son, she invited me and Amy, my wife, and our two sons, Stape and Nathan, up to Chicago. They paid for the airfare. They put us up in a beautiful corner hotel apartment right across the street from the John Hancock Tower. They had filled our pantry and our refrigerator with food. They treated us like royalty, taking us to some of the finest restaurants in Chicago, showing us all of the sights. I felt as though she was caring for me as sacrificially as my own mother would care for me. Where did Rufus' mother learn such caring? I believe she was there with Alexander and Rufus and her husband Simon on the Via Della Rosa on that Passover. And I believe there she saw not only her husband carry the cross of Christ, but there at the top of Mount Calvary, she saw the sinless Son of God suffering and bleeding and dying, suspended between heaven and earth and rejected by both, giving his life so that she could go free. And I believe it was there at Calvary, or Simon and his wife, unnamed here, gave their hearts and their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an important scripture that speaks to us today about that kind of caring. It's in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6. Three key words here I want to hone in on. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Boy, don't you know that was real to Simon, the father of Rufus and Alexander, because he found himself humiliated, humbled, pressed into service under the load of the Lord's Christ, of the Lord's cross. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he might exalt you. Think how different that word exalt is from the word humble. They are polar opposites. Exalt is at the height of the pole. Humiliation is at the bottom. And the only way you can be exalted in God's eyes is to be humble underneath his mighty hand. which includes your cross. When we remember the sacrifice of those people buried underneath tons of steel and concrete and glass and jet airplane wreckage, that we remember the Lord Jesus Christ when he was buried beneath your mountain of sin and my mountain of sin. He humbled himself so that he could be exalted. The rest of that passage in verse 7 says this, looking at there on the screen. Here's your instruction today. Casting all your cares upon him, Jesus. Now, if I could go back to that other verse, you remember I showed you three key words. The first key word was under. Compare that with the word upon. You put yourself under the mighty hand of God. You put yourself under his sovereign plan for your life. You put yourself under the cross that he has tailor-made for you. But then he has a provision for you, that you can cast your cares and your burdens upon him because he cares for you. This is how Paul would put it in Galatians 6:2. He would say, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Reminding us of our city mayor's closing words in his proclamation today to encourage our citizens to reclaim our compassion, to serve and remember that simple acts of kindness will honor those we lost and build a stronger tomorrow. You want to build a stronger tomorrow? You want to build a stronger church? Be like Simon and carry the load. Carry the cross. Oh, I know there's people here today that feel like you can't even breathe because the pressure is so great on your back. You're being buried underneath the load of your own sin. And the pressure is so unbelievable, you feel like you can't even catch a breath. But if you'll cast your cares upon him, he'll lift the load. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I'm speaking to some Christians here today that feel like they're under the tremendous load of cares, suffering, hurt, emotional pain. And this verse is true for you too. Jesus bore his cross to Calvary so that you could cast your cares upon him. So we're entering into a time of commitment, and it's a very simple one today. Have you trusted Jesus as your Savior? He suffered and bled and died so that you could know the forgiveness of your sins. I'm going to be waiting for you right here when we all stand in a few moments, and we're going to sing, and I pray that you'll be the first one to come from the balcony, the back, the front, and by your coming saying, I want to put my burden on Christ. I want to trust him as my Savior. There might be others here today, and you feel such a calling in your life to help other people with their hurts and with their pains. And God is calling you to be a part of this team here at First Baptist Church, to link arms with us so we can individually take up our own crosses, but together as a body, bear the burdens of our community and our nation. I invite you to come today also. God has a plan for your life, and he's put you at this crossroad with a purpose in mind, just like he put Simon on the Via Della Rosa at exactly the right time. He's placed you on this pew, not by accident, but for a purpose today. As we pray together. Father, we thank you so much for Jesus. We thank you for this opportunity to say yes to him. Father, for that soul that is nearest hell, I pray that they might trust you, that they might find the relief that only comes from having our burden bearer, Jesus, lift the load of sin from us. Father, I pray for those that are in this building who are Christians, that are hurting, that just need to come and be unburdened and unshackled from the heavy load of hurt that is in their lives. Father, give them freedom. And Father, for those that you're calling today to be a part of this church family, I pray that you give them the grace and strength to step out at this important crossroads in history and come and be a part of First Baptist. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.